This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, O believers, be mindful of Allah as He deserves. Have taqwa, God consciousness of Allah as is His right upon you. And do not die except in a state of submission, in a state of worship, in a state of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live and die upon Islam. Allahumma ameen. One time I was talking to someone who is very, very prominent on the international scene. Someone who is in a very difficult position in terms of the work that he does. And he says he receives death threats often. One time, a particular death threat was found to be very credible. So there were some actions actually taken to prove that the threat was credible against his home and his family. And so some actions, some measures had to be taken. Amongst them, he said, for sure, we upgraded the security system that we had. We had to hire private security for ourselves and for our children when they went to school. Why? Because the threat was credible. They had taken some actions. They sent some packages to the house. They broke one of the windows. So there was a threat against his life and his family's. He's taking measures. He says, eventually, the threat is so bad and he's so worried. At least here in the US, he said he went and got a CPL, purchased a gun legally, and tried to train as much as he could just to be prepared, worried about, again, himself and his family. And eventually, the threat was so bad, they relocated. They moved somewhere else. And it's not easy to relocate. We know this. Perhaps some of us here or our parents were forced as refugees to move once, twice, thrice. Perhaps we have relatives and family members and loved ones all across the world who will do anything to save themselves and their families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the affairs of our brothers and sisters in every land and place. When there is a verified, proven, credible source of information telling you that there is a threat against your life and your children's life and your family's life, then you take action. The only response, the only wise thing to do is to take some kind of measure. None of us would assume that we would just be careless, reckless, like it doesn't matter that people are attacking the home and attacking the family. And anytime you leave the house, you have to be extra careful and vigilant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a command that oftentimes we forget about. May Allah forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Indeed, the devil is an enemy to you, so take him indeed as an enemy. The devil is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. May Allah protect us and our loved ones. The reality is oftentimes when someone asks, what does it look like for a Muslim to follow this command, this ayah? To take the devil as an enemy, what does that mean? From the time you woke up to the time that you sleep, the way you go to work, the way you carry yourself, the way you go to school, the way you interact with family, the raising of children, everything you do, your entertainment, your socializing, your use of the internet, everything we do can be impacted knowing that there is an enemy trying to ambush us. And to summarize the entirety of the threat, our khutbah today is about the promise of the devil. وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. The devil tries his best and he promises that I will mislead all of mankind. وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. We know there is an enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this for a reason. And the story is mentioned numerous times in the Quran. And in addition to the details of the story, he tells us that this enemy is telling you his plot, his strategy. And so if you were to, for example, explore within 3 or 4 hours of a seminar or a lecture, we could cover a number of different strategies the devil takes to misguide mankind. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He's going to try to mislead everyone, but he cannot mislead the sincere servants of Allah. The sincere servants of Allah are protected. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He has no authority over those who believe, وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they put their full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. Rather, his authority, his influence, his impact is stronger on those who follow him, those who are loyal to him, those who are happy with the sinful lifestyles that they have. And in other verses of the Quran, we are reminded, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ. My servants, you have no authority over them. This was a conversation. No authority over them. Especially here we're talking about the sincere. Ikhlas is mentioned several times in the Quran as the foundation of your protection. So when we say the devil is an enemy, we find, for example, when you hear stories of many people who, as they were dying and leaving this world, the last few days were good days for them with their families, their loved ones, their ibadah, their salah, their dhikr, their shahada at the last parts of their lives. And other stories we have personally witnessed and experienced, and perhaps many of us here, of people who could not say La ilaha illallah, but they would sing dirty songs. They would talk about money in a greedy manner. They could not say La ilaha illallah because they did not live upon it between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. But the point is that at some point in their lives, they fell for the promise of the devil. They were able to make choices and they chose to follow the wrong path in some fashion, in some manner. We're not saying they're going to end in a certain place, but the ending of this life was not a positive ending for some people. So when we talk about the traps of the devil, and we look at all the different ways that people need to be cautious, strategic, and vigilant with some sense of security, we find an example in a man who committed adultery, and he came to the masjid, and literally in the first prayer that he prayed, he broke down in tears. He's crying and crying and crying. And some of the brothers went to him to talk to him, thinking that perhaps someone in his family just passed away. Perhaps he's experiencing loss and grief. And eventually he opens up to the imam of the masjid, and he mentions that he did something that he has been regretting for years. He can't go back and change it, but he would give anything to go back and make a better choice. And one of the things that he said in particular is, I don't know how I got to that point. I don't know how I went from where I was to this terrible, terrible sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, of course he knows, coming to the masjid, making dua, tawbah, that there's hope and you should move forward with your hope. But sometimes, even though you know there's forgiveness, you don't forget the pain of that regret. You don't forget how severe it was, the disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can you do? You can channel that regret, that pain, towards greater acts of worship in the coming years, towards more barriers and shields against the devil as well. The devil's promise is clear. As for how, one of the ways is through shubuhat, doubts. May Allah protect us and our loved ones. Doubts about what? Anything. Literally doubts about anything. People have doubts about all types of things. And the devil tries with people in different ways, whether it's the afterlife, or doubts about God's existence, or doubts about the Quran, or about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or incorrect reasoning. They cannot possibly reason in a manner that leads to Islam because they are starting with the wrong foundations. They're using the wrong faculties. They're relying overly, for example, on empiricism or science as one tool that we use as Muslims, but they are using it as the only tool for determining truth, as an example. And so oftentimes people don't realize that the devil tricks people, even intellectually, in a manner that seems convincing, in a manner that seems logical. But at the root of it, at the crux of the entire argument, there is no logical argument that can be posed against Islam, or belief in God, or belief in the afterlife, or belief in the unseen. And we've covered this in many khutbas before. But the point here is that there is no logical issue. There isn't a logical issue. There is oftentimes a problem with reasoning, but it's usually combined with pride. It's usually combined with shahawat, temptations. It's usually combined with some arrogance that I know what's best. At times with extremely weak faith and an inferiority complex, thinking that the standard of truth, the standard and the hallmark of civilization is rationalism, is al-aql, or it is science and scientism. When in reality we find revelation answers all the questions that we need, but only if we understand that revelation, only if we understand our religion. There's an example of an ex-atheist, meaning he had converted later to Islam. Many of the logical arguments did not matter to him. He was given every proof, every evidence. And then one day he was asked, if you died right now, what would you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you died right now with all the proofs and evidences you were given, what would you say to God? What would you say to the Creator? And that made him pause. That made him think. He said, I don't like talking about death. I don't like thinking about what happens when I die. Because in the event that I am possibly wrong, I know I'm going to be punished. I know that it is severe. That led him to start another conversation, to explore the evidence once again, that perhaps You ignored something. Perhaps you rejected something out of pride, not because it wasn't convincing to you. And alhamdulillah, later on, he ended up becoming Muslim. But when we see these examples and many of these stories, people forget you have agency, you have choice. Do not give your agency to anyone else. Do not blame anyone else for your religiosity or lack thereof. Don't blame your parents or your society or the world that we are in today for not being practicing enough. This is a deflection of the reality that we are responsible. We are responsible for our actions. The devil tries, but you are protected if you are sincere. You are protected if you keep trying. You are protected through tawbah. So sometimes someone, a believer, may fall into a sin, and in that moment you think, I've lost it all. You lost a small battle. But tawbah is your way of winning the war. Tawbah is your way of coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not once or twice, but for the rest of your life. Anytime you fall short, you try harder, you try better, you try smarter. Going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that He forgives. Pay attention to the state of your heart. Pay attention if a doubt comes up, that you don't make it bigger than it is. Because wallahi, every single doubt, every pseudo-intellectual doubt that was ever posed or mentioned or emailed or asked about, there is a response for it, and it's not that difficult. Go to the people of knowledge. Go to people who are trustworthy. But don't make the doubt bigger than it is. It's normal at times to have a doubt, but it can be answered and remedied, inshallah. And of course, in addition to seeking knowledge and seeking answers from trustworthy people, you make dua, ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. What else? You look at shahawat. The devil tries with other people, not through the intellectual claims, the pseudo-intellectual, but rather through their desires. And this, for most people, is more common. In fact, in many cases, we personally have had in this country with people who struggled with faith or left the faith altogether. At times, we would talk to people who claimed they had intellectual, logical challenges against Islam. But when we started talking, we realized very quickly there was an issue of temptations. There was an issue of desires, but it was covered. And at times you cannot know inside your heart or the hearts of other people what it is that they are struggling with of shahawat or shubuhat. So you try with all measures, you try a multifaceted approach. How does this work with shahawat? First of all, we know ourselves. The devil also knows us. We know our weaknesses. The devil knows our weaknesses. So I require to have shields, fortresses, alarm systems, weapons, tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us to protect us. Barriers between us and the haram. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, don't come near, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا, don't come near zina. It doesn't only mean the final act itself. Don't do anything that will lead to it later on. Close the doors of haram. We can't count the number of times, unfortunately, even married people have fallen into major sins and would come with a sense of regret and remorse and wishing they could go back and change the decisions that they made. And then wondering, how did this all start? And it was through a text, one text. It was through an interaction at work or on campus, at school or at home, something online or offline. It started with one seemingly innocent thing, but it was a small door of shaitan. And if you allow the shaitan to enter through that door, perhaps he will convince you to open the second door and the third. May Allah protect us all. If you find yourself in a situation today where you have already opened many doors to the shaitan, shut those doors. Close those doors before they lead to something worse. And this is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone knows where they are in their journey to Allah. Gradual steps towards the haram is one of the favorite tactics of shaitan. That you can imagine, someone who would never, ever, God forbid, fall into zina, they think it's the most disgusting thing in the world. That someone who is so far from it could, after a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, of allowing themselves to do something small that is prohibited, to lead themselves to something worse. In other words, the devil is patient. The devil is willing to wait. Are we wiser than that? Do we notice our patterns? Do you notice yourself and do you take account of the last 5 years, the last 10 years? Were you the same person religiously? Do you find yourself farther from Allah? Do you find yourself normalizing sin? Do you find yourself desensitized to anything? Pay attention to your patterns, your thoughts, your heart. Pay attention to the symptoms as well, because the devil is willing to wait. The devil is willing to wait. May Allah protect us all. Another trap of shaitan is to trick Muslims into thinking what? That Islam is all about what's convenient for you. And religion in the 21st century, for the postmodernist, for many liberals, for many neo-spiritual people, has become all about taking whatever is convenient and leaving everything else that's too difficult. And the reality is, this is why people are trying to create constantly their own religious ideas and identities and worldviews. They want the spiritual benefit of belief in a higher power, belief in God. They don't want to submit to God. They don't want to pray and fast. They don't want to give charity. They don't want to help others. On their terms, they will. But they don't want to do what Allah has commanded. Why? Because they're picking and choosing whatever is convenient for them. And this is not unlike the Muslim who worships Allah consistently until things don't go their way. And then they stop. Until life gets difficult. And they stop praying. And they channel their anger towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God forbid, or towards the Muslims, or towards somebody religious, or the entire community, or towards Islam, rather than accepting things as they are, moving forward, looking for solutions, looking to pass the test of life. This all comes from the tricks of shaitan, tricking people about who God is, tricking people about channeling their anger in the wrong way, tricking people about what life actually is. What is the purpose of your life? Why are you here? Why do you exist? And of course, this includes Muslims who oftentimes are committing haram. And when someone advises a family, a wife, a husband, a child, their reaction is one that is very defensive and angry, and one that rejects that ruling in Islam, even though it is clear that something is prohibited or clear that something is an obligation. Do not pick and choose Islam on your terms. By definition, Islam comes from silm, comes from submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, udkhulu fi silmi kafatan. Enter into Islam, submission to Allah, your religion, Islam, your way of life, your deen, completely. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't pick and choose what you think is easy and what's difficult you're going to avoid. And do not fall into the traps of shaitan. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. He is indeed a sworn enemy to you. On the day of judgment, the devil speaks on that day. He will have an opportunity to talk to his followers, those who listen to him. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. The devil will say to his followers after the judgment has been passed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Allah has promised you the promise of truth. Which promise? There are so many promises in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many promises. Allah promised you the promise of truth, and I promised you, but I deceived you. And then he says something very important. وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I could not force you. I had no authority over you, except that I invited you and you chose to accept. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. You accepted my invitation. Meaning the shaitan can trick, can whisper, can make you pursue certain thoughts. May Allah protect us all. And the reality is, you choose where you go with it. Ask Allah for protection in the moment. Ask Allah for clarity of thought. Ask Allah to be consistent with dua and with dhikr, adhkaru sabahi wal masa, with the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah as a shield, as a barrier in the home and in your car when you go to work, that you are thinking of Allah, you are referencing Allah, you are thinking of what is right, you are placing barriers between you and the haram. And then he says, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, to the end of the ayah. He says, do not blame me, but blame yourselves. In other words, you have free will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold any human being accountable for something they were forced to do, that it was outside of your choice, your agency. So no, this is a matter of choice. Choose what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choose the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will find yourself amongst the successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just tell us there's an enemy and then not give us any solution. Rather, he gave us weapons and shields, barriers and fortresses against the devil, but it all starts with ikhlas. It starts with sincerity. Are you sincere with Allah? Are you sincere in private when no one is watching? Are you sincere even if your parents are not there, your spouse is not there, nobody is watching you in the community? Are you sincere when you're online? Are you sincere when you're offline? With Muslims, with non-Muslims, at work or at school? Are you sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What else do we have? We have the morning and evening supplications that every single Muslim needs to do. Every Muslim should learn this habit. Every parent should be teaching their children this habit, because wallahi, not only does it protect them morning and evening, 24/7, you have this alarm system, this shield, these guardian angels from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also the blessings, the reward, the habit that continues inshallah to the next generation. What else? The Quran. The more you connect to it, attach yourself to it, listen to it, have it playing, the recording playing often in your home and in your car, the more you will find yourself connected to Allah and protected from immorality. What else? Your salah, your five daily prayers, but not the ones that don't have quality, the prayers with quality. Focus in your salah and you will get more out of it. And this is why salah protects you from fahsha and munkar, because you are doing so with quality, with ihsan and with ikhlas. And lastly, your knowledge, your ilm, and your company, your environment. Surround yourself with good people and beneficial knowledge, and it will help you against the shaitan. Once again, the three things that we mentioned. The devil is an enemy to you. This is a command from Allah. Take him indeed, take the devil indeed as an enemy. Number two, know that the devil makes a lot of promises. Thoughts that people have, whispers and tricks, and shaitan oftentimes spreads them in society through ideologies, through capitalism, through other things that people want and they want to purchase, they want to pursue. And these promises are all false. And the third, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you many promises, and these promises are all true. Wallahu la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He is the all-forgiving, the ever-merciful. أقول قولي هذا واستغفروا لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Every year, we hear stories from community members, old and young, from all walks of life, who experienced some moment in which they changed. They decided to take some measures. They decided to replace a really, really corrupt friend or influence with something that is good, with someone that is righteous. They decided to replace something sinful in their lives with something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it never leads to regret. Getting closer to Allah will not lead you to regret. Getting closer to Allah and experiencing tranquility does not lead to regret in this life or especially in the next life. And oftentimes, we hear from people who changed and they say, you know, that time of my life, it's as though I was living oblivious to the reality that there's good and evil in the world. Oblivious completely to the reality that the devil has been working for thousands of years to create ways to misguide mankind. Just completely heedless of this reality. I'm just going to work, going to school, living my life, not realizing that in everything you do and everything that surrounds you and every encounter you have, there's the potential for good or evil. And so once you wake up to this reality, you never go back to heedlessness. You cannot go back to heedlessness. You cannot go back to being oblivious that there's an enemy out there and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you all the tools, the weapons, the shields, the confidence, the bravery, the courage, so you have no fear because you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The believers put their trust in Allah, so they are not afraid of this their enemy. They are not afraid of the one who's coming to harm them because Allah is protecting them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are always true. So when you take measures and you are consistent and you teach your family to take measures as well, you wake up to this reality and you never go back to that ghafla, that heedlessness again. May Allah protect us and our loved ones. What can we do again? Surround yourself with good knowledge, beneficial knowledge. Any opportunity for a program, a halaqa, online, in person, with your family, try to attend. And the second, of course, is to have good environments, good friends, especially to the many students who are returning to schools. May Allah bless you and protect you. You are a potential role model, a potential source of guidance. The other people will see you and maybe they will become better because of you. And if they don't, at least you stay strong. At least you stay principled. For the many students going back to universities as well, you know how university life is and you know the responsibility upon your shoulders. You're no longer in that physical structure with one group of students anymore. You're out and about and you have a higher level of responsibility, a higher level of flexibility and freedom as well, that your parents are not necessarily aware of everything you're doing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware. On campus is where many people convert to Islam. On campus is where many students end up being role models as Muslims. On campus is where a lot of change happens for a lot of people intellectually. So those of you who are going back to campuses, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be a weapon against shaitan. Be a weapon and a tool against the devil, a source of goodness in society and for all of us as well, regardless your work, your raising of your children, regardless of what you're doing in your life, be consistent in your dhikr and your dua, and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this fortress that you have is a fortress that cannot be penetrated. This is a powerful force from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is why we say, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. This is why we say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are consistent, those who are strong, those who are forgiven, and those who are a source of strength and guidance and hope for others. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us and our loved ones, old and young, men and women, to be sources of khair in this life. Allahumma ameen.